presentation really is taking back us to Africa. It really addresses human resource capacity, maybe from a different angle. It's not meant to be the only strategy that we've used, but I'm hoping to share just one of the models and one of the strategies to support the government of Namibia in addressing its human resources challenges. This program has been done actually in the context of the Presidential Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, PEPFAR. And I would like to take the opportunity to acknowledge my two other colleagues, Jude Nwakiki and David Mabrizi. Actually, this presentation would have been presented by Jude Nwakiki if it wasn't for his troubles, actually in Namibia right now. Okay, and as David mentioned, we have learning objectives for each session. So I think it's going to be easy. What I would like to achieve during this presentation is first to be able to know more about the actual human resources challenges that we faced initially with this program when we started actually in Namibia. Next, then learn about the actual model and propose part of the solution that was applied. And lastly, try to discuss some of the elements of this model and the solution and how these may be sustained on the long term. This is just a brief map of Namibia. As you see, I mean, Namibia is in the southern region of Africa. It's bordered by its neighboring countries, Angola, South Africa, Botswana, and Zambia. Namibia is a large country. It's low density population, scattered around about 13 regions, historically has ties also with South Africa. Just to set the scene in terms of the perspective, what was the situation initially? So, Namibia is primarily a small population of 2 million. It has one of the highest typical prevalence rates of the Southern Africa at its best estimates at 19.6%. It was designated as one of the focus countries for PEPFAR in 2004. It has been a very, very progressive HIV/AIDS program. I mean, it actually started prior to PEPFAR initially, but grew very fast with support with PEPFAR, reaching today 37,000. I would say it's one of the countries that really outreached their targets for PEPFAR even. So what was the mandate of MSH, RPM Plus, when we were called upon to assist the government there is primarily to strengthen pharmaceutical management generally, and one of the objectives was to look into the human resource issues there. And really our approaches want to sort of to look essentially at what is existing and the opportunities that are already on the ground, basically at national, regional, and central level, and they are already delivered through the Minister of Health and Social Services of Namibia. So what was the human crisis they were talking about? I mean, in 2004, looking at some of the global reports on human resources, Namibia was classified to have about 14 farmers per 100,000 population. So this is comparable to many other African countries, but I think it's definitely on the low end, definitely much lower than its neighboring South Africa, and by all means much, much, much less than the West Europe or the US. There is a severe maldistribution of pharmacists. About 80% are already in the private sector. If you look at the 37,000 patients that are being cared for today, about 80% are the public sector. So we have really a big disconnect here, where the 80% are in the private sector, where the care is taking place mostly in the public sector. This has put a lot of pressure actually on the other cadre of pharmacy workers, which are the pharmacy assistants. So a lot of the duties that the pharmacists would do had started to be delegated to pharmacy assistants, with creation of a new, if you wish, crisis at the level of the pharmacy assistants now. In 2005, we were called upon to do an assessment to look more into the details of the elements of the shortages, and one of the key findings there that we found that only 65% of the pharmacy positions were filled. And like many other sectors in Namibia, only 5 of these positions were filled by Namibians, all the others by non-Namibians. this is just the one picture in from the initial program, one of the pharmacy assistants really trying to deal with a lot of inventory management issues. Okay, so we've tried through this assessment to look at what are the real challenges behind this crisis, and so that we're able to see what we're able to deal with. I mean, one of the things we looked at is what is the capacity of Namibia actually to produce pharmacists and pharmacy assistants. Namibia does not have a pharmacy school to start with, so Namibians who are there are already trained elsewhere. So that was one of the things. It has a pre-pharmacy program, which up to now people are not really very clear sort of what is the incentive of getting Namibians to enroll there, because there is no pharmacy program. So what's after pre-pharmacy? They still have to go abroad to get their pharmacy program. So the motivation, the incentive to get into this pre-pharmacy program, I mean, does not seem to be great, and we'll see some figures on that. There is, however, a pharmacy assistant program. But looking at it, what is happening with that, when we got there, there wasn't even a pharmacy assistant tutor. So there was no enrollment for pharmacy assistants into this program. So there is no way to produce pharmacy assistants. Now looking, we talked about the distribution, how the disconnect between the private and public sector, the private sector being mostly urban, so obviously rural areas were definitely even higher hit with this crisis. The third element that we looked at is the process of hiring, even from beyond Namibia. The process was very, very slow, and it involves many agencies. The recruitment, since from the hiring up to the actual recruitment, can take up to a year. It's a bit less for pharmacy assistants, because most pharmacy assistants are recruited locally, so this is a bit of a better picture. But for pharmacists, it can take up to 1 year just to recruit one pharmacist, a very long process. Okay, this, I don't know if it's clear enough, but just to show, this is a report actually from the Ministry of Health and Social Services in 2004, and showing the enrollment in the different years of a program for different types of health workers. I mean, you see at the top, like nursing, radiology, social work, even pre-med, which is only a 2 years program. You see, if you look to the enrollment in the first year, you see there is some movement and there is some improvement. A growing number being enrolled. As you see, the first year, there is usually a larger number than what were enrolled last year or the year before, and so forth. For when you look to the pre-pharmacy program, even the year of the 2004, they had none enrolled in that program. And in their second year, they had only two people. So it shows that the prospects for the future for having pharmacists and pharmacy assistants was not great. So what did we do? I mean, MSH was called upon, USAID as a funding agency, and the Ministry of Health. So let's sit together and try to figure that out. There is no way that these cadres were going to come from Namibia, so we had to look into a way of doing it. The Ministry of Health sort of came with a collaboration with the Ministry of Health, and we went into a memorandum of understanding whereby MSH will seek the assistance of PEPFAR and USAID to be able to recruit pharmacists and pharmacist assistants in the country. So that was the first thing to do. The second thing that we set with the Ministry of Health and tried to develop a yearly plan, which is done up to today actually on a rolling yearly basis, where we decide what are the needs for the next year from pharmacy and pharmacist assistants. That helps us to develop a plan and the budget and to seek approval from USAID for the future years. Then we thought initially, actually, as MSH, we took on board the actual task of doing the hiring and seeking pharmacists and pharmacist assistants from within Namibia and beyond. And we started to see, as the program was growing and the needs were growing, this was really not the best effective or efficient way of doing it. So we started negotiating with a third party, a human resource agency that's based in Namibia. They have a lot of expertise in human resources recruitment, and we found that was a good option to outsource the hiring function. And then the last thing that was critical to the process, we said sort of in a different sort of meetings, establishing roles and responsibilities for each of these agencies, whether they is ourselves, the ministry, USAID, or potentially the local hiring agency. So how does the process, that's the actual model, how does it work? I'm sorry, it's a bit too small. I'm sure it's a bit tough for those at the back. But really, to walk you through the process, I mean, it starts every time that the Minister of Health has identified an actual position that needs now to be hired, they develop a job description. The job description, according to the Memorandum of Understanding, has to be according to the ministry format. It has to be in the same terms of reference, conditions, as the Minister of Health. And we'll learn as we discuss this, that was a critical step in making sure that these positions are not created to be to a stopgap just by MSH, but as a sustainable solution so that these people, once recruited, can be absorbed within the ministry subsequently. The second thing, once the request has arrived to MSH, MSH looks at it and decides whether this is already as a predetermined plan. If not, then we go back to our funding agency and see other mechanisms of funding it or refine the plan accordingly to absorb the new request if it is a new priority that has evolved. Accordingly, then, we get engaged potentially into the process, doing the hiring process, which so far has, we've looked at it over time, over the years, it has been going actually on the decrease. We're now down to about 2.5 months. So replacing doing something that the ministry was doing over a year, so doing it in a 2.5 months, I think that's moving somehow forward. But once the incumbent is in place, the orientation has taken place, and it's usually done by the Minister of Health along with the MSH, the ministry starts a process of the absorption. We call it the absorption process. So really getting all the approvals, the multi-agency, the advertising, the dealing with the grandfathering for Namibians for the position. They have to advertise locally, make sure that there is no Namibian qualified until they start looking into recruiting from beyond the borders. So they start the whole process while the incumbent in place. Once this process is ended, automatically our role ends and the person is automatically transferred as a Ministry of Health employee. So far we'll see in the results that this has worked so far, and all the ones at least we've hired as pharmacists are still to date are actually Ministry of Health employees. So it has worked so far. However, if the process has not ended by the end of the contract, then we have the obligation to renew the contract for the person and roll it over to the next plan. And while doing this, I mean, it's not easy. It's always, I mean, we have to bear in mind there is the advocacy. We need to be talking to the different agencies, to the Minister of Health, making sure that they are working on this process for absorption. So this is just goes through the process again and just highlights sort of the time that has been taking 2 to 4 months. So right now we are about at 2.5 months for pharmacists and even much less for pharmacy assistants. So what are the results of that? I mean, to date, I mean, I didn't have it on the slide, but as you see, it's an evolving thing, numbers that change, but as of last week report, we had about 41 positions filled between pharmacy and pharmacy assistants, filling positions whether at the central level, regional, at facility level. It could be a policy pharmaceutical advisor, it could be a distribution pharmacist, it could be a course tutor, so it's all the disciplines of pharmacy as needed. Critical, I think, to some of these positions were the regional positions. These weren't many. We had 4 regional positions, but when we looked at it, these supported in themselves about 10 district hospitals providing ART services. These facilities had pharmacists, but did not have any form of supervision. So this helped a long way making sure that these are supported. Actually, another 11 ART sites did not have pharmacists at all, and 11 actually dispensing pharmacists were recruited for these files. The origin of most of the pharmacists, again, came from beyond the border. Pharmacy assistants come from within, but we were aware that we have to be careful not dragging resources from other countries. And I must say, I mean, so far looking at where they're coming from, primarily they were coming from, I would say, higher ratio pharmacist countries and lower prevalence HIV countries. It's not always the case because some came also from the southern region where high prevalence is there, but the majority were not. pharmacy assistants working on health documentation practices. Okay, so overall, how did that? I mean, there is 34 sites providing ERT services. I mean, this program supported 21. So it's about, I think, 62% of all the ERT sites did not have one form or another of support. So this program managed really to support ERT sites and the ERT program in Namibia. At this stage, I mean, at the time of development of this slide, we say that 64 of the position, whether pharmacist or pharmacist assistants, have already been successfully absorbed by the Minister of Health. As of last week report, I'm looking at it, that went up to 73. I mean, we can't say that it's always on the improve because it depends on which time of the cycle you're looking at. So there is a new wave of recruitment is going to drop your absorption percent and so forth. But so far, we're very happy. I think one of the critical things we've been able to look at that we haven't lost one pharmacist to the private sector. So we've been able, I mean, all these positions have been recruited for really gaps in the public sector and for rural areas where really deficiencies. When you look at the baseline of the positions unfilled, these were reduced by now by 50%, and these are the basic positions. But more other positions have been also filled in support of the HIV/AIDS program. And some anecdotal evidence we're seeing from the sites and from our partners showing that pharmaceutical care quality itself is improving now in Namibia. Okay, so what are the elements we think that helped make this model work? First, I think the thinking outside of the box rather than us doing it all the time and looking at the human resource local agency to do it, I think created a lot of effectiveness and efficiency. We were able to recruit quicker. We were able to recruit actually less expensively, and we relied on a very specialized agency for doing it on our behalf. I think building the system, like we mentioned earlier, I think the critical pieces of making sure that a person, an incumbent, a pharmacist, can be absorbed within the system, I think that was a critical step. If it hadn't been for that, I mean, it would have been really a nightmare to try to get a person to fit the Minister of Health structure. The job description was the same from the very beginning. The salary structure was the same. The supervisor, I mean, I forgot to mention about it, was appointed from the technical supervisor, at least, from the Minister of Health. So there was no change even in supervision. So it was a very smooth transition into the absorption. And plus, actually, the Ministry of Health was able to promote some of them as they moved. So it was an incentive for the incumbent as well. One of the things I think the elements that favored this model and helped it to work is that we were aware about the role of each agency and other ministers involved with the recruitment process. I mean, just to quote an example, the Foreign Affairs is involved because of the recruitment of foreign workers. So you really need to understand what is the system, what is their requirements to do that. And factoring this into your planning, I think, is very, very critical piece to make it work. Okay, I mean, we discussed the description of the partner roles. I think that was very important, the memorandum. It did not sort of leave us sort of in a vacuum, having to think every time there was a new person at the ministry or at MSH or at USAID to figure out sort what works or how are we going to do it. We just went back to our memorandum of understanding, and we had the consistent roles for each partner to be. So just to summarize the steps again, that the Ministry of Health is the lead in the process, and I think that was a critical piece to that. The recruitment and the compliance with MOHSS policies and procedures, that was another one. And the third one, I think, that helped us very much for pharmacy assistance is the absorption of new graduates. Whenever there was a year where there was pharmacy assistants graduating, it was a critical problem because as they graduate, there is shortage, the private sector is always after them. And the Ministry of Health, if it's not really there, I mean, to absorb them, they're lost and they're lost for good. So we're always watching for those graduating. Straight hire them quickly until the ministry sort of works their bureaucracy through and be able to absorb them. Okay, I mean, recommendations, I mean, I think can be many, we've seen before. I just want to focus on four key ones. I think Keith talked earlier about the funding and the availability of all these funds in public health problems like HIV AIDS, but if we don't have the means to make it happen, and with these human resources, I mean, we're bound to forfeit a big opportunity of funding. And if we're not using the funds, we know donors are bound to reduce next year's funding if there is no absorptive capacity. We need to think about outside the box, and we have seen excellent examples of how to address some of these. Second, I think traditionally donors tend to be skeptical about funding salaries, funding supplementing wages, and it's always a delicate issue. But I think there is some movement away from that now, and with the search, especially with the PEPFAR, with PMI, there is more recognition that this works. I think if we always have a model that it is transparent, that shows that it's working, and be able to recommend it to the donor is willing to put the money into it, and less skeptical, long that the model is transparent and the roles are well-defined. The leadership, the in-country leadership, I cannot emphasize it enough. I think if it wasn't really for the leadership of the Ministry of Health and taking it very seriously, the implementation and the absorption, I think it would not have worked as well. And then I think the role of the Human Resource Agency has been great, at least in our experience, and that shows a lot of effectiveness and efficiency brought into the play. This is just a statement from one of our key partners on the ground, the chief medical officer, showing, I mean, how they thought this program sort of helped him or his region particularly with better quantification, with better forecasting information system for pharmaceuticals, and even revitalizing their therapeutic committee program in the region. And last, I just want to acknowledge the Ministry of Health, definitely.